Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Brustin Northman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Northman.
That's a lie. No Kyle Wallace, no Brad Northman. You have Ben Brust and Alex Stroph with you till 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock on ESPN Wisconsin. Pebble, Chris Larson is running the show. Get us on the Carbless Talk and text line 800-990-3776 or watch us on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. I've tasked Stroph, so he sent me an email and he's like, I got a lot of gratitude today for a lot of people, most of which were in the NFL and it related back to the Green Bay Packers, but I was like, you need to expand that. I need the top 10 from Alex Stroph that you have the most gratitude for, starting with number 10.
All right, Chris, fire up the football music. Here we go. The people I have the most gratitude for in my life on this lovely Wednesday afternoon. Let's start with number 10. Number 10, the general manager of the New York Giants, Joe Shane. Thank you for giving us Xavier McKinney. Thanks for letting him get away. And thanks for giving us another All-Pro on the Packers defense, which is looking like the best defensive unit in the National Football League. Number 10, Giants GM Joe Shane. The number 9 person I'm most grateful for on this fine Wednesday is Ben Brust. Ben giving me the opportunity to spread some love in the world, giving me the opportunity to spread a little gratitude, and giving me the opportunity to sit in with him on this Wednesday. Thanks, Ben.
You're welcome. After you asked me if I was trying to have kids or not, and then asked me about my family's finance situation, I'm regretting this decision.
Number 8 is the Packers' new president and CEO, Ed Policy. Ed Policy comes in for Mark Murphy. After a terrific tenure by him, he builds up the businesses, builds up the community, brings the draft to Green Bay. What does Ed Policy do? He comes in and says, come on over, Micah Parsons. Ed Policy, number 8 on my list of gratitude. Number 7 is Brewers manager Pat Murphy. Boy, are they good. Looking like...
What about that letter?
They could win the NL Central. Yeah, a little weird. He dropped down a few spots because of that. But it's all right. Pat Murphy, number 7 for leading the Brewers after... the Clowns exit last year. Number 6 on this list is Matt LaFleur, the Packers head coach. What a hire that was. Back in 2019, he's only done one thing, win. And he's continued to win and win and win in the 2-0 to start the 2025 season. A guy that should have won one, if not two, Coach of the Year awards. Never has. He's been snubbed. One of the best coaches in the NFL. Number 6, Matt LaFleur. The number 5 person I'm most grateful for on this Wednesday, the birthday boy. Happy 81st birthday to my grandpa.
Oh, wow.
The patriarch of our family. Talked to him this morning. My grandpa is number 5 on this list on his 81st birthday. Number 4 on this list.
Wait, you seem like you love the rest of them. You just gave a quick shout-out to grandpa. That's all he means to you is a quick shout-out?
He's
the rest
best. I still call him the patriarch of his family. I talked to him for 20 minutes this morning. He'll be okay. My grandpa, number 5 on this list. Number 4 is the Packers general manager, Brian Gutekunst. What a terrific 2 years he's having. We mentioned Xavier McKinney, Josh Jacobs, Matthew Golden in the first round of the draft, trading for Micah Parsons, all the moves he's made, trading up the draft Jordan Love. What a move that's looking like. 5 years removed now as he's number 3 in MVP odds over at Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Brian Gutekunst, number 4 on my list for the people I am most grateful for on this Wednesday. Number 3 on this list might be shocking to some. My girlfriend is number 3 on this list.
Whoa!
My girlfriend number 3 on the people I'm most grateful for on this Wednesday afternoon. Love you.
What did she do this morning to make it to number 3?
She gave me a smooch, said goodbye. Normal activities, you know?
Oh, so just because it was normal activities, she goes down the list.
I actually had her at 4 prior to the smooch.
Fair enough.
Number 2 on this list, Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley.
So Jeff Hafley's ahead of your girlfriend?
Right now, yeah. I mean, have you looked at this Packers defense?
Has he given you a smooch?
No, but he's given me a metaphorical smooch by making this defense as good as it's been the last 2 years. Right. You talk about...
priorities.
Think about something for a second, Benny. I grew up in Green Bay. I grew up bleeding green and gold. I don't know if I've ever seen a defense like this. I wasn't alive for the Reggie White era. I was alive for 2010 when they had Charles Woodson and Tremont Williams and Nick Collins and B.J. Raji and Clay Matthews coming off the edge. That was good defense. It won the Super Bowl. I don't know if I've ever seen a defense like this. We've gone through the Joe Barrys and the Mike Pettins of the world.
Said, I don't think I've ever had a girlfriend like this. Probably should have said that. You've gone further for Everyone on this list except the people actually closest to you in your life. Your grandpa got a flyby ranking, yeah. And your girlfriend's number three, and she was number four before you got a smooch on the way out the door.
My mom and dad aren't on this list because they're not number one.
Relatable.
Love them both, but not the point. Number one on my list, Cowboys owner and general manager Jerry Jones, the old man. I don't know what I'm feeling like right now if Micah Parsons isn't a member of this team. I don't know what I'm feeling like right now if the Packers didn't have the best defense in the league. I don't know what I'm feeling like right now, because what if the Packers didn't start 2-0 without the addition of Micah Parsons? Jerry Jones is the ultimate buffoon. His idiocy led to my happiness. Jerry Jones, number one on my list of gratitude on this Wednesday. That is my list.
Joe Shane, people. Number 10, general manager of the Giants, letting Xavier McKinney walk. Ben Brust, me. I'll take it. I'm on the list. Ed Policy, number 8. Pat Murphy, number 7. Matt LaFleur, number 6. Strofe's grandpa, happy birthday.
Grandpa Strofe, yeah. Happy birthday.
Number 4, Brian Gutekunst. Barely at number 3, his girlfriend.
What do you mean barely? Oh, yeah, yeah, I did say that.
You did say she barely made it to number 3. I'm just quoting you. Yeah. Jeff Hafley, who it seems like you have a huge crush on.
Crush isn't the right word. Appreciation, gratitude, love.
Again, I listened to you and I felt crush. And then Jerry Jones for being the old guy who makes stupid decisions because he's just old and can just do those things.
Oftentimes my idiocy doesn't lead to my happiness. Somebody else's idiocy left to my happiness.
Well, there's Alex Trove's list of gratitude. Paul and DeForest, what do you have gratitude for today?
Well, I hope I have gratitude on Sunday afternoon, gentlemen,
because yeah, I am expecting
a 20-plus point blowout. We may see the backup quarterback. I'm optimistic. However,
uh-oh.
Yep, there's a however, there's a but.
Oh,
the dog pound isn't what the dog pound used to be, but it's still the dog pound, road game, any given Sunday. Let me paint you a scenario real quick.
Mm-hmm.
First 5 minutes of the first quarter, Myles Garrett, perhaps, strip sack. Or maybe the rare Jordan Love INT.
Mm-hmm.
One of our wideouts turns the wrong way. Maybe a pick six, but even an interception in the wrong end of the field. How about special teams? That's always a bugaboo. Blocked punt, fielding a muffed punt. Browns get the ball at the 10-yard line. Penalties. Any given Sunday, gentlemen, I'm not predicting anything. Some have said trap game. I don't believe in that shit. But the point is.
Dump in Madison.
Yep, the point is. That's.
Sorry.
Good call.
Until the end. So what I took from that is he thinks it's a 20-point blowout, but however, any given Sunday. I don't think any given Sunday is.
It's real to a point.
Yeah, no, it is. But then, like, I think he's now gone too far with, well, Myles Garrett could have a strip sack. Jordan Love could throw an INT, a pick six, the special teams.
The scenario,
this could happen any, like.
The scenario he gave was at the beginning of the game. If that happened at the beginning of the game, Packers by 30.
Well, I think I said yesterday, I think Myles Garrett could have three strip sacks for touchdowns, scoop and scores, yeah. And I think the Packers would still win.
Oh, wow. That's bold, but you may still be right. My 31 points would still win that game, I think. So, look, I
what he failed to mention in all those scenarios, strip sack, INT, some of them he had, like getting into the red zone, the Browns still have to score against the Packers' defense.
This is the same case we made with Wisconsin football earlier in the week.
Yeah.
Your defense might look good.
You got to score points.
You got to score points to win football games.
Mm-hmm.
And the Browns, not incapable of doing it so far this year, but the way this defense is looking, it's hard to believe. Like, here's the thing, and I'm really struggling with this. We've kind of said it all year with the Brewers. This just feels different. The Packers in past years, especially in the Jordan Love era, let's just go with the past 2 years. There are games where they're just stinkers. They just don't show up. I don't know how that happens this year, given what we've seen. The offense has so many pieces. The offensive line's been good enough. Defensively, they just seem so dominant against two good offenses in the Commanders and Lions. I just don't know. So much has to go wrong for a stinker like we've seen in past years. So even in the scenario that we just heard, I just don't see a path to a loss.
There's 18 scenarios that he was putting in there.
Right, choose your own adventure type scenario, but I still don't think anything bad comes out of that.
Like I mentioned, as I was thinking about all those things, the thing that was that was keeping me whole was no matter what, they have an unreal defense that can do things that we've never seen before that can help. Not that any given Sunday can't happen. I mean, they're not going to win every football game. They do, obviously. They're not. I'm getting loopy now too, and slappy. Think even just saying that out loud.
Come on, slappy. Join the club.
But I think they're going to handle the Browns, and I really do like taking 7.5. I'm not scared of the hook. Ben Brust, Alex Stroph, no Kyle Wallace or Brad Nortman. Rob Domofsky wrote a piece about the Packers pass rush, and again, I think sometimes we get caught up and. It's new. This is a new feeling. I actually want to dive deeper into that new feeling and address some demons that may need to be exorcised. With this pass rush being what it is, I think we can learn to let go of our past traumas. Next. She told me, honey, pick your poison. Mine's a lemon and gin with a hit. I met some pretty boys and over the head. I'll admit, I'm kind of crazy. Ben Brust alongside Alex Stroph. No Kyle Wallace or Brad Nortman with Chris Larson running the show. You, KBN Nation, as always, can get us on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. Liz is more. Get us on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. I think we just got to start leading with more confidence until they give us a reason not to. You know what I mean? I think and I actually appreciate the not wanting to overlook an opponent, right? You're playing the Browns on the road. We've gotten the Any Given Sunday. We're getting the Myles Garrett can wreck a game. But I think we need to look inwards for a second until they give us
inwards
a little bit of a reason not to. What have the Packers done other than the only complaint I could hear is that they haven't been able to separate the leads big enough, which I think is overblown, by the way. Because
do you?
I do, actually. I really do. Because when I think about the Detroit game, specifically, Detroit scored a late touchdown.
Yeah.
But also, the Packers didn't have, 8 to 10 drives because the Lions scored 6 points on 2 field goals after, 7-minute drives. The game itself wasn't one for them to curb stomp a team, which they ended up basically winning by still double digits. And a late touchdown was the difference. Now, fast forward to the Commanders game. Short week. You had a dominant victory, which, again, a late touchdown made it closer. But at no point was that game ever in doubt. I just think when you have a pass rush, as Rob Domofsky wrote about with Micah Parsons and everything he can do for this defensive line, they are number one in the league in pressures and number two in sacks. And we're coming off of a game where Joe Flacco had a fumble, which led to a scoop and score, an interception, as I've mentioned, probably I'm going to do this each day. This is now Wednesday. I will say he's averaging 5.5 yards per pass. He's dinking and dunking. Guess what everyone's had to do against the Packers? Dink and dunk because you can't get time to do anything down the field.
And it hasn't worked.
So my overall point is, I think it's okay to not want to overlook the opponent, but I also am just going to lead with confidence with this Packers team until they give me a reason to not.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the important parts you're pointing out are exactly why I just am not scared for Sunday. This pass rush is that good, and it has been that good. You're right, and we'll talk to Rob coming up next, but second and pressures, nobody's been comfortable. Now, when it comes to some of the second half stuff, I hear why Matt LaFleur wants more, foot to the floor type energy from this offense. In the Detroit game, their last drive of the first half was a punt, and then the first two drives of the second half were a punt. Well, that game was pretty much already out of hand. You could have added onto it, even if it was a field goal, right?
Correct.
Make that 2-possession game a 3-possession game or what have you. But
no one's perfect is my overall point.
No, I agree with you.
No team is so. But unflawed that they're going to score points on every possession.
Instead of taking the scaredy cat approach of going, well, this could be a trap game. This is their first road game. Can they really prove it? That's not the approach I'm taking. I view this as the game to get right. This is your 52-point game against the Bears. Go there and have a complete game. Punt twice. Score a bunch of touchdowns. Get yourself feeling really good before a Sunday night crowd in a hostile environment of Dallas, who doesn't like the Packers very much right now, after Jerry Jones shipped Micah Parsons up here. Like, the road game I'm more worried about is next week in Dallas. It's Sunday Night Football. The Boo Birds will be out for Micah, and he's going to be revved up, but that's beside the point. That's a game, and that's an offense that's at least a little bit competent. They've scored a lot of points despite, not beating the Eagles in the opener and then needing overtime and a really long punt, or excuse me, field goal kick, to beat the lowly Giants. But that's a team we know can score points. That's a team with an offense that's looked at least competent through 2 weeks. The Browns haven't looked competent at all outside of a few pieces on their defense, including Myles Garrett. I don't think that's going to slow down the Packers' offense enough to lose the game. It's just not in the realm of possibility. So it's a good warm-up act for an actual hostile environment and a tough, national game in Dallas before your bye week. So this is the game where I think you go work out all those bugaboos. Matt LaFleur thinks you've taken the gas off a little bit in the second half. Go lay it on thick in the second half. That's where I'm at.
Again, I look back at the Browns here, and I know their defense is very good. I watched it, and part of what the Ravens were able to do in scoring 41 points was seven of them are off a scoop and score, and one of them was off a Joe Flacco interception for a short field, which led to a two-play long touchdown pass, and the game was out of hand. Joe Flacco threw 45 times. 45 times. He had 199 yards and 4.4 yards per catch. Against a Ravens defense, which is good, but it's not to the caliber as we know that Josh Allen, as you did your little everyone plays everyone, and you can kind of take everything from a little bit and sort of make your, prognostication,
Did that thing hurt your head?
No, I got there. You were moving fast, so I wanted to just clarify a couple of things.
Let's make it clear. Baltimore has allowed the second most yards in the league. And a lot of them came in week one, but they played the Browns in week two. Baltimore has allowed the second most yards in the league through two games, other than New York Giants.
And again, my overall point is Joe Flacco isn't beating this Green Bay Packers defense. And what I also find funny is when you look around the league and you have these teams that draft young quarterbacks, you think Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders knows what it's like to go against Micah Parsons and what the Packers' pressure has been able to do this first two games of the season? No, they're not ready for it. So I think, again, lead with confidence. Mm-hmm. Obviously respect the opponent, but I do believe this Packers team will win by double digits because they're built to beat a team that can't move the football down the field. They'd have to beat themselves in a horrific way for them not to win this football game.
Totally agree.
800-990-3776. I'm with Strofe. Could be a statement game for this team to sort of put it all together. That's Stevie. Dave from Aaron. Joe freaking Flacco. I don't wish for injuries ever, but there is a potential old Joe gets carted off in a wheelchair.
That probably isn't injury related. That's just old related.
I said it on Monday. I watched him roll out of the pocket against the Ravens. I was like, don't go down just from age.
Yeah. Is Joe Flacco's younger than Aaron Rodgers?
He moves slower.
But he moves slower. Although Rodgers did not look great in week two.
No, he is. If he has time,
he
can sling the ball. But if he's got to get outside the pocket, he'd sling one nice. But again, everything's got to go right. He's got to really be in rhythm because, again, Father Time is undefeated.
Unless your name's Tom Brady.
Yeah, but again, he just stuck in the pocket and again, had a great defense. God bless that man. I don't know how he did it. What I know to be true is the Princeton Club's a phenomenal place in Madison and Milwaukee. You have the New Berlin Center in the Milwaukee area. You also have the Madison locations. And when you can drop your kid off with free childcare for the membership, you can go do what you want and then pick up your child and go on your very way knowing they're taken care of. They're open 24/7, locally owned, and you can have that strong body you want, help provide a strong mind, and provide a strong community because they always have initiatives within the health club to help the community. So if you're looking for a place that feels like an environment that you want to be around everyone, that's cheering for you, that has, a goal to get better, I'm telling you, just get a tour and you're going to love it. For your better tomorrow, join the Prince of Club. The bold, the bald, the beautiful. I want to see if Rob agrees that not that we're overlooking the Browns, but based off what we've seen from the Packers in 2 weeks, they should win by double digits. Next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman.
Love you.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin, ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube, and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
There are certain organizations that can't get certain positions right. The Bears can't get a quarterback.
Bold, bald, beautiful.
I'm one small, bald man.
ESPN NFL Nation reporter Rob Domofsky.
To me, their window is now wide open.
On Kyle Brustin Nortman.
No Brad Nortman, still taking care of that newborn baby boy, which we still don't know what the name is.
Oh, yeah. When did he
never followed up.
Monday?
Oh, they're still trying out names on the baby and seeing if it sticks.
I never realized you could do that. Okay, sorry. Back to Rob.
No Kyle Wallace. You got Ben Brustin, Alex Strofe. Joining us now on Kyle Brustin Nortman across ESPN Wisconsin is Rob Domofsky, the bold, the bald, the beautiful. How are you?
Wait, Brad's baby doesn't have a name yet?
So it's been a week and a half, Rob. And
what? And
I texted the day after. So he was born last Saturday. On Sunday, I said, okay, do we have a name? And he said, not yet. We're thinking of one or we're working on one, whatever. Then a full week and a day, 8 days went by. And on Monday, this happened.
I go, hey, Brad, obviously we're live on the air right now. We are genuinely confused. Why haven't you told us the name of your child? Is that for a certain reason? We will respect it if so. He then follows up, we had a few names picked out before he was born, and then when we saw him, we felt like none of them really looked like him, so we're trying to finalize a new one. Hasn't been 100% confirmed, but we're trying to nail it down.
Well, this should be like, this is like a new here, Brad, out thing. You don't have to name your kid until he starts talking, and then he can pick his own name.
Right? I'm just like, also, like, babies don't really look like anything. Like, you know, they change a lot. Like, to try and put a name to the face that's going to be changing every day is tough. But, hey, to each their own, right?
Yeah, well, sorry. I know that's not what you had me on to talk about. But
Well, hold on. Now, real quick follow-up, then we'll get to the Packers. You have two boys. How long did it take you and your wife to name them?
Well, we had the names picked out, boy or girl, beforehand, and Hogan was the boy.
But what if it didn't look like him?
Well, he became a boy. He was a boy, and we got Hogan. We had, with Roan, who is also a boy, we had Rowan if it was a girl, and we just took the W out and made it Roan for a boy. So it was adaptable. See, we had a name that was, you know, sort of.
But you had it figured out instantaneously.
Yeah, I mean,
I feel like 96%. I feel like 99% of the population does that. Brad's an interesting cat.
Fascinating. Okay. Anyway,
that being said, Rob, I literally just opened up Twitter and saw the injury report that you put up. And a little side note, you want to share with the audience?
Yeah. So it's first of all, Micah Parsons is not listed anymore. So that quote unquote back injury seems to have gone away. I wonder if they made a deal with them. Hey, we'll put you on there with a back for 2 weeks just to, you know, to make it look good, and then that's it, we're done. But the more serious and important note is that, you know, there's no such thing as two players being the same listing, even though they're both listed as limited. And in that regard, I'm talking about the two offensive linemen, Zach Tom and Aaron Banks. They're both listed as limited, but we talked to Zach Tom, and this is, you know, this is why we do what we do. We go into the locker room and we talk to these guys, and Zach Tom told us he didn't do any team work, meaning 11 on 11, only did a little individual, and he said he still really can't run straight ahead. Meanwhile, Aaron Banks said, I'm good to go, I'm playing on Sunday. So
both listed as limited.
Correct. So now they'll both probably be listed as questionable on Friday, but it sure did not sound very good for Zach Tom, but it did sound pretty positive for Aaron Banks.
Now, we've been talking a lot about this Browns defense, because I think, in my opinion, people are doing the right thing and not overlooking the opponent. But I also think that through two games, the Packers have shown us something that you should be confident in. And it's not that, like, I'm not looking over the Browns, but Joe Flacco threw 45 times and at a 4.4 yards per pass. He can't move. Yeah. I don't see a way, even if the Cleveland defense plays well, that they beat the Packers.
You know, here's the thing, like, Ben, if they lose this game and they were the people would say, oh, see, they overlooked them, and now that they're before the game that they're talking about how tough the Browns defense is, it's almost like they're saying that just so we can't say they overlooked them, right? Like, I mean, there's certain games where you look on paper and like I realize as a player and a coach, you have to prepare for every game, you know, as if it's the most important one because it's the next one. But like,
man, you must have heard of that once or twice in your life.
Well, yeah, it feels to me like they're grasping at straws just to make everyone, you know, realize that they're not overlooking them by praising the Browns defense. But boy, I don't see how this Browns team has, you know, the firepower to keep up offensively. And even if their defense is good, you know, the Packers have been good enough offensively to offset that.
Rob, you have an esteemed journalism degree from The Ohio University, correct?
Well, I have a journalism degree from there. I don't know how esteemed it is.
Well,
yes,
just roll with me.
They did send me a diploma. Okay.
Did you ever think in the beginning of one of your articles on ESPN.com you'd write the quote, "Packers to the bowl, bruh," Reed said. "I'm good. Thank you for the pears, bruh. But we turnt, bruh. We go in all the bleeping way, bruh." That's four bras in a quote. Did you ever think this is where you'd wind up? And what'd you make of Jaden Reed's Instagram Live yesterday?
Packers to the bowl, bruh.
In 1993, when I graduated from Ohio University, I don't think anyone had used the term bruh. Like, I don't think. At least I don't remember that. You know, so, you know, it's funny. A lot of the things that I thought I was going to do when I was in journalism school turned out not to be the case. But look, I mean, I don't know if you ever had your wisdom teeth taken out. That's the closest thing I can come to with most people having like gone under anesthesia, and the things that people say when they come out of it.
It's truth serum.
Is hilarious. Just absolutely hilarious. And obviously this is more serious than wisdom teeth, but same effect. But like, I always made sure when my kids had their wisdom teeth taken out, I had the video rolling when they woke up because you knew they were going to say something funny.
Can you put on that journalist hat and find out if they did both surgeries at the same time? Like if one was at the bottom half of his foot and one was doing the clavicle?
Good follow-up.
Or if they did them separately?
Well, that is a good question. I will certainly ask
that. It's not that good a question. I'm just curious.
No, but I would assume that they did it under one one time knocked out.
Yes.
But I do wonder if they did them one after another. I doubt that somebody was working on the foot while the other guy was working on the cup.
But I imagine that's different surgeons, so you could do it at the same time.
Well, you could. Yeah, you certainly could. That's a good point. I don't know when we see Jaden back in the locker room, we'll have to ask him if he knows. He probably doesn't even know.
No, probably not. What I do want to revisit is what we'd asked you. Help me remember, because I asked this to Tausch and I believe Jason Monday, Tuesday, into you Wednesday. Who do you think will benefit the most from Micah Parsons being on this team? I believe you said the cornerbacks. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is what
you said. Keyshawn Nixon. Yeah, yep. And so I just wanted to get that right because Keyshawn Nixon with five pass breakups, he's able to sit back and really attack right away because these quarterbacks don't have time.
Right.
So I guess bravo to you for being right so far.
Yeah, you can take more chances too. You know, when you're pretty sure the ball is going to come out quicker, you know, you can jump what might be concerned with as a double move, but it's not going to be a double move because there's not going to be time for him to make a double move. So I do think that that does allow that to happen. The one thing is, you know, when you go back and watch it, I don't really think much of Keyshawn's was on Terry McLaurin, who was their number one receiver. So just because you're the number one corner in this system doesn't mean you're always going to cover the number one receiver. So while Keyshawn had an outstanding game, really, I mean, five pass breakups, you know, it's been like 4 years since anyone in the NFL has had five pass breakups in a game before Keyshawn.
Eric Stokes didn't have that in his entire career.
Eric Stokes, you're probably right. He didn't have a pass breakup, hasn't had one since 2021, his rookie year. And since I don't think he's in the league, it's probably going to stay that way.
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. He was on the Falcons for a brief stint last year, but I don't think he's in the league.
Yeah.
Benny, that's a good point by you. I didn't even think of that. I don't think Eric Stokes had more than a couple in 21.
Well,
that's crazy.
He went over 1,000 snaps without a pass.
I remember that being one of your favorite. Well, maybe not favorite, but it was one of your go-to stats a couple years ago.
Yeah.
1,000 snaps without a pass. I mean, you'd think one a ball would hit you in the shoulder pad
right.
just by accident. You'd get a PBU.
ESPN NFL Nation reporter Rob Domofsky with us here on KBN here on ESPN Wisconsin. Hey, so Matthew Golden, last Thursday, Love either under or overthrew him on what would have been two big plays.
Right.
But I saw the stat I'd never heard of, the ass rating, Rob, the average separation score, and he leads all receivers in the league through 2 weeks on that. Are you expecting a relative breakout from him now with the absence of both Watson and Reed, at least for the next three or four games?
You would think so, Alex, and I really hope we get a chance to talk to Golden in the locker room. He wasn't in there today, but hopefully tomorrow, because I think I want to ask him this question, and you tell me if this is crazy, but like as good as he was in training camp, I wonder if he thought, hey, this was just going to be easy and I'm going to get, you know, five or six catches every game just by, you know, just because I showed how easy it was. And I wonder what his sort of takeaway is after two games where he only has two catches and he's got a couple rushes, but you know, not a whole lot of significant production. Because I mean, we talked about it during training camp, day after day after day. The guy was making big plays down the field. He was catching everything thrown at him. Now, neither of those two balls on Sunday were catchable. I mean, they Love badly underthrew the fourth down play where he actually, Jordan said today, he thought that they had 12 men on the field and thought it was a free play. And then the deep ball was, he just missed it. You know, he just overthrew it. So neither of those are on Matthew Golden. However, I'm sure he probably, or I shouldn't say I'm sure, I don't want to assume. I wonder if he thought he was going to get more than two targets every game right away.
I just need to clear this up. Eric Stokes on the Raiders was on the field against the Chargers.
Wow.
Two tackles.
Okay. Did he break up a pass?
I think PD is either.
Pass deflection.
PD. Yeah, I wanted to make sure because I think he got one. So he's,
wow. he's still in the league.
Yes, he's on the Raiders.
The streak.
I did not realize that.
Rob, look, it's really easy to get ahead of your skis through 2 weeks, but
The
Packers are fourth in odds to win the Super Bowl. They've jumped the Commanders and the Lions. They're the second best odds to win the NFC. They have a favorable schedule heading, like, and when I say favorable, the Browns are no good. The Cowboys gave up 500 yards to Russell Wilson. You get a bye, and then you don't play Joe Burrow. There's a good shot they're 4-1, 5-0. Very good shot, right?
Yeah.
So when you think about that.
I think there's a good shot they're undefeated going into the Philly game, which is what, week 8 or 9?
That would be 8-0 heading into the Philly game. So with that, do you think, because I know you said I'd take this to the window, you're not saying you would bet, but don't you think if you believe in this team now, it's probably the best time to go bet on them to win the Super Bowl? Because if they just keep on winning, those odds are going to shoot down.
You're not going to get the return on your money, I wouldn't think. But yeah, it's a great point. I mean, here's the one thing.
So do you believe it? Like, do you believe in this team?
I do. I really do. And I mean, I thought even before they got Micah Parsons, they were going to be, you know, a factor. And I really thought, to be honest, I thought they were the favorite to win the division because, you know, we talked about this before. The Lions lost both coordinators. I think that's a real factor. The J.J. McCarthy thing, like, I don't care how good Minnesota's roster is going into the season, J.J. McCarthy had not proven anything. And, you know, now he's hurt. So I don't think anything's changed there. And people who thought Ben Johnson was going to just instantly turn around Chicago, well, obviously that hasn't happened either. So to me, it starts with the division. They've got to get home playoff games. I mean, they just—it's too hard a road to just have to go on the road every time in the playoffs and get to a Super Bowl. It's just—it's not impossible. It's just too hard. And if you think about when's the last time these guys had a home playoff game, it was not in the Jordan Love era. So they need to play at home to establish themselves. And I think that my money would have been on that to begin with, which therefore gives you a great chance to make a run.
Well, Rob believes. If you believe, you know what to do. Rob, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Rob believes. If you believe, you know what to do.
Go to Pop.
All right, guys. Let's work on that name, Nortman, if you're listening.
We'll pass it along. I actually text him right now. Rob Domofsky.
What are the odds we have an answer for Rob next Wednesday?
I would say 50-50.
I agree. I
really
100%.
Don't. They might be trying out names next week, too.
All right, boys. We'll be seeing you.
That's Rob Domofsky. Writes for ESPN. You see him on TV. He's everywhere, and he joins us on Wednesdays. Kyle Brust Nortman with no Nortman, no Wallace. You have Wallace. Wow, no Kyle. Alex Strofe in for them. Coming up, I think I'm having more fun with my daughter's toy than she is next.
You're listening to Kyle Brusten Nortman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin, ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube, and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Dad, make the beat switch, turn off, look, give a million to him. Right now, I got so many villas booked on like a billion to him.
Dirt's boy told me Martha's room was his favorite song. He was gotta tell you about Gina Della from Pella and the great work they do at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. When you choose Pella, you get their trust and commitment to your home, to you, and everything that they provide. Get the consultation. It's free. Someone comes to your house, they explain everything. No matter where you're at in life. Starter home, like me, came into a house with windows that had probably been there for 70 years. It took me 80 years to get them open. Now I got wonderful, beautiful windows because I got great financing, 0% interest for 5 years. That's what I took advantage of. So just get the consultation. See what they can bring to you. You get to make decisions with them. They do it like a team. You're part of their team when you work with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Great warranties, all the above. Visit PellaWI.com today. That's PellaWI.com. Get your consultation, order by the end of the month, and you'll get that 0% interest for up to 5 years. Ben Brust, Alex Strofe. No Kyle Wallace or Brad Nortman. Chris Larson's running the show. Get us at the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. And I mentioned yesterday I was super excited because I, you know, at about 20 months now, almost 2 years old, the daughter's running around wild. And she's discovered playing ball with the dogs, you know, throws it, laughs, they run and get it. So it's like, it's fun. I don't have to be the one to throw the ball at the dog. She can be the one. And it keeps her entertained. Then I was like, all right, over the weekend, we need more things for her to do, especially as I was thinking, all right, we can go to the park. But what happens when winter comes? Mm-hmm. You need things for indoors. So I got her first basketball hoop.
Wow. That must mean so much to you.
It did.
From when you were her age until you were about 23, that's all you did.
No, it's because I get to use it.
Correct. Yep.
I put it together last night when everyone was asleep in the house. I felt like a dad, like putting together the big gift on Christmas.
So yeah, you sent us a picture at about, I think it was about 9:15 p.m. last night. It was just a picture of the hoop, and I was assuming you were just showing us that you had set it up. But I didn't ask this in the group chat because I figured it would get brought up today. How many times did you shoot last night?
All night.
All night?
Like for like 2 hours.
You were shooting on a little
tight suit? I had background TV, but like, oh, not consistently nonstop, but like, I'm like a golden retriever.
Another
sometimes.
Another follow-up question.
And I would just shoot. Pew, pew.
Did you break a sweat?
No, I didn't break a sweat.
The pits weren't sweating at all?
No. Because I'm not dunking.
No, that sounds like a man is in denial.
I did say no one too many times to open up to more questioning, right? Yeah. It's almost like, no.
Yes.
But this morning, she loved it.
Yeah?
She loved it.
That's awesome. Yeah, you showed me some video. Couple things. So you showed me a few different videos that your wonderful wife took. And one thing I loved, and I'm going to give you credit on the air, which this is not to embarrass you. It's just to show how good of parents you guys are. This is a sincere compliment. Every time she made one, you guys went, yay!
We had the full-on parent voice.
Yeah, you were reinforcing like good behavior. You scored. Keep doing that. So I loved that. It was fun to see that. But then at one point, your daughter ran up to the hoop, and she's about the same height as the rim where you had it set.
I would say her reach goes,
yeah.
The ball is like at like the tip of the rim, and you got to push it over.
Yeah, it's like me dunking on a 7.5-foot hoop, right? Like
correct.
If I reach up a little bit, I'm going to be able to dunk. She ran over to this little tyke's hoop, tried to stuff the ball in, and then
kaboom.
Both her and the hoop.
Yep.
Fall over, and the video pans to you cackling.
Laughing.
Not laughing. You were hysterically laughing, and then you hear your wife go, Ben, and you go, she's fine.
Yeah, she's fine. Like, she's not crying. I'm not one of those, like, when you hit the ground, you don't have to be like, are you okay? Because then they probably are like, oh, am I okay? And then they start crying.
Yeah. I loved it. Now, then there was another video that your wife shot. And at one point, your wife goes, Ben, give her the ball back.
Yeah, because I was shooting. I'm going to use that. And you know what? I should probably... I think what I'm going to do is anytime somebody comes to the house, I'm going to dunk on them and record it. I have to.
Bro, it's a little Tykes hoop.
It can be raised. It can be raised to probably about 5 feet.
Okay.
Take some people out.
This is not your daughter's toy. This is your toy.
That's our toy.
Okay.
It's our toy. It's ours. Yes. We get to share the toy. You'll have Jim, Matt, and Molly up next in Madison. Saw Wally was here. Is he doing the show from here?
I don't know.
Well, Corey and Wally are coming up next in Beaver Dam. Strofe and I are taking you all the way to 5 o'clock, leading you into the Homer Hour. We'll both be at the Brewers game tonight, so that'll be fun.
Tomorrow for me.
Oh, tomorrow for you. We got the Angel Series covered. We're back in 2 minutes.